Let's seek the Lord for prayer. We'll wait upon him and we'll pray for his blessing upon us here this evening. O God, our Father, we come into your holy presence in the name of our Saviour. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. And we praise you that tonight we are in your house to worship you with your people. We thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. We thank you for the Saviour. We thank you that we can sing hallelujah because he has cleansed us from the guilt of our sin. He has pardoned us. And we thank you for the power over the very pollution of sin that you've given to us. And although we bemoan the fact that we still have this old man, this old corrupt nature within, yet we thank you for the Spirit of God and we thank you for the new man. We are exhorted to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that your word would be useful to us tonight in assisting us in this onward progression for thee. And so we pray for your blessing now, that that would be granted to us in the Saviour's precious name. Amen. Amen. Let us turn tonight to the book of Numbers, chapter 32. Numbers chapter 32. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. The children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, Ataroth and Dibon and Jazer and Nimrod, Nimrah and Heshbon and Eleale, and Shibam, and Nebo, and Beon. Even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel is a land for cattle, and thy servants of cattle. Wherefore said they, If we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. And Moses said unto the children of Gad, and to the children of Reuben, Shall your brethren go to war? And shall ye sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up unto the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel, that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. And the Lord's anger was kindled the same time, and he sware, saying, Surely none of the men that come up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land, which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years, until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. And behold, ye are risen up in your father's stead, an increase of sinful men, to augment yet the fierce anger of the Lord toward Israel. For if ye turn away from after him, he will yet again leave them in the wilderness, and ye shall destroy all this people. And they came near unto him and said, We will build sheepfolds here for our cattle and cities for our little ones. But we ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel until we have brought them unto their place. And our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return unto our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance. For we will not inherit with them on yonder side Jordan or forward, because our inheritance is fallen to us on this side Jordan eastward. Moses said unto them, If ye will do this thing, if ye will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord until he hath driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord. Then afterward ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Build you cities for your little ones, and folds for your sheep, and do that which hath proceeded out of your mouth. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben spake unto Moses, saying, Thy servants will do as my Lord commandeth. Our little ones, our wives, our flocks, and all our cattle shall be there in the cities of Gilead. But thy servants will pass over, every man armed for war, before the Lord to battle, as my Lord saith. So concerning them, Moses commanded Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun, and the chief fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel. And Moses said unto them, If the children of Gad and the children of Reuben will pass with you over Jordan, every man armed to battle before the Lord, and the land shall be subdued before you, then ye shall give them the land of Gilead for a possession. But if they will not pass over with you armed, they shall have possessions among you in the land of Canaan. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben answered, saying, As the Lord hath said unto thy servants, so will we do. We will pass over armed before the Lord into the land of Canaan, that the possession of our inheritance on this side Jordan may be ours. And Moses gave unto them, even to the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben and unto half the tribe of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, the kingdom of Sihon, king of the Amorites, and the kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, the land with the cities thereof and the coasts, even the cities of the country round about. Amen. We know that God will add his own blessing to the reading of his inspired and infallible word. Tonight we're going to think about the spirit of Joshua and Caleb. And the spirit of Joshua and Caleb was very famous in Israel because this incident took place 40 years after Caleb and Joshua took their stand at Kadesh Barnea. And here it is referred to in the verse 12. Save Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite and Joshua the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. Throughout history, in the history of Israel especially, Caleb and Joshua are noted not merely as two men who followed the Lord, but they wholly followed the Lord. They completely followed the Lord. And their dedication to God is such a challenge to us, because we too are called to be disciples. And the disciple is not one who makes preconditions, who says, I will follow the Lord if this happens or that happens or the other thing falls into place or he does this or she says that, then I'll follow the Lord. The disciple doesn't set preconditions. The disciple offers himself or herself unconditionally to be in utter and total allegiance to the God of heaven. And this was the spirit of Caleb and Joshua. And it struck me this past week, there is ever so much for us to learn from these two men. And it is particularly interesting, and we'll make reference to this, that this is referred to here in Numbers chapter 32. So let's think about the spirit of Caleb and Joshua. The first aspect of the spirit of these two men, they had a spirit of rejection. They rejected that which was wrong. So turn with me over, please, to Numbers chapter 13, to the historic incident itself. In the Numbers chapter 13, the spies are sent to spy out the land. They had been delivered from Egypt. They had gone through the Red Sea. And now they were at the edge of the land that God had promised to them. The spies were sent with some great anticipation to see the land, to map it out, to prepare the way for going into victory. But when the spies came back, 10 of the spies, they were most unhappy. They said, yes, it's a good land, it flows with milk and honey. But in verse 28 of Numbers 13, they said, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. These are the giants. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and the coast of Canaan, coast of Jordan. The land's too strong for us. People are too strong, too warlike. Cities are too well defended. And you notice what Caleb did in verse 30. He stilled the people before Moses. He stood out, one man alone. He didn't wait on Moses to give his verdict. He knew what was right and wrong. And he just stood to the front, even in front of Moses. Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. I have been there too, and I've seen the land, and we will overcome. And then you will notice that the other men said, we cannot go up. We are not able to go up against this people. They are stronger than we are. And they brought an evil report. They began to talk about the men that were of great stature in verse 32. The sons of Anak, the giants, we were as grasshoppers in their sight. And then you will see in verse chapter 14, verse 1, the whole congregation lifted up their voice and wept. And what did they say? They wished they were back in Egypt. They wished they had even died in Egypt. They wished they had died in the wilderness. They wished they were dead. That you should bring us to this place. Now, what was important about Caleb and Joshua, and you read about Joshua's contribution later in chapter 14, was that when it seemed that everyone else was saying, we can't take the land, they said, we can. And they stood against the tide of popular opinion. They were willing to put their principle first, to the risk not only of their own popularity, but the risk of their own lives. And therefore, they rejected what was popular in order that they might stand by what was right. And that's one important aspect of the challenge that Caleb and Joshua bring before us today. Because we are in a minority. The Christian voice is in the minority. It's in a minority everywhere in our nation. But that doesn't mean we go with the majority. That doesn't mean we're intimidated by the majority. That doesn't mean we're tempted to loosen our convictions. It means we continue to stand by what is right. And even though the current we're swimming against might be increasingly stronger, yet we go on, wholly following the Lord. That is the spirit of Caleb and Joshua. And that was the spirit that brought this congregation into being, wasn't it? People had the conviction and the resolve to come to a witness where they knew the gospel would be preached in an unfettered way. And it took bravery and courage, but they did it because there was something worthwhile standing for. That's the spirit. And I tell you something, if the work of God is going to go forward into the future, we still need that spirit. And we should be praying that our young people would have that spirit. We need to be a people who stand to the forefront in our devotion and in our commitment. And it is interesting that this lesson should be taught to the children of Reuben and the children of Gad, and also half the tribe of Manasseh here in Numbers 32. Because what was going on in Numbers 32? Where was the promised land? Where was it? It was over the Jordan. It was always on the other side of Jordan. But Reuben and Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh, they came to the country that was on the border of the promised land, but it wasn't quite over Jordan. And they said to themselves, oh, this is a nice territory. This will be perfect for grazing our cattle. And it's great country. Could we not stay here? But they were wrong, because it wasn't over the Jordan. They weren't going all the way. And Moses was very angry with them and very disappointed with them. And he actually said to them in verse 6, "Shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? Wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord had given to them?" Moses could see Kadesh Barnea all over again. And he was greatly alarmed. But nevertheless, he struck a deal with Reuben and Gad, the half-tribe of Manasseh, and he said, "If you come with us to battle, you can have this land, but you'll have to fight with us for the territory that God has given." Because they weren't going to live in the territory that God has given. And God allowed them to have the desires of their own heart. That doesn't mean it was right. And in all of the history of Israel, these tribes did not distinguish themselves. Reuben, Gad, the half-tribe of Manasseh. Very few people came from across the Jordan to take a real stand for God. There were exceptions. Jephthah was an exception. Elijah, interestingly enough, was an exception. But by and large, nothing great happened on the other side of the Jordan, because that was not the country. These were men of materialism, men of sense, in terms of they lived for the senses of this body, and they saw what seemed to be good, but it wasn't what God had for them. And that's exactly what the spies did. They were thinking materially. They weren't thinking spiritually. Their eyes weren't upon the Lord. I came across an interesting term I never really heard before. It was the term borderer. Did you ever hear of the term borderer? And I think it must come from perhaps people that lived in the borderland of a particular country, like between Scotland and England. And sometimes the border shifted. We know that happened in history. And people didn't quite know whether they were Scottish or English. It took a long time for the border to remain static. And that happened in lots of countries right across Europe as well. The border. And this particular commentator, he was Mackintosh anyway, he's an early Brethren writer. He was making the point that these two and a half tribes were borderers. They were on the border, but they weren't going all the way to seize their inheritance. And remember at Kadesh Barnea, they were on the border. But that wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. And sometimes as Christians, we can be on the border of God's blessings. We feel we're just doing enough. We're just getting by. And we're solving our conscience. But we haven't gone all the way to take the blessings that God has for us. And there are many. We haven't realized them. Think of what Mackintosh said. I just want to read this to you. "It is a grand point to be wholehearted and decided and unequivocal in taking our stand for Christ. Serious damage is done to the cause of God and the testimony of Christ by those who profess to be Christians, denying their heavenly calling and character and acting as though they were citizens of this world. This is a powerful engine in the hands of Satan. An undecided half and half Christian is more inconsistent than an open out and out worldling or infidel. The unreality of professors is more injurious by far to the cause of God than all the forms of moral depravity put together. This may seem a strong statement, but it is too true. Christian professors who are only mere borderers, men of mixed principles, persons of doubtful deportment, they are the men who most seriously damage the blessed cause and promote the designs of the enemy of Christ. What we want just now is a band of wholehearted, thoroughgoing, unmistakable witnesses for Jesus Christ, men who shall declare plainly that they seek a country, earnest, unworldly men. These are the men for the present crisis." Good words, challenging words, for the present crisis of this day. Caleb and Joshua were the men. And their lives continued to teach lessons 40 years later. That was the power of what they did back at Kadesh Barnea, even though they were in a hopeless minority. But one man with God is a majority. Don't we say that? So there was the spirit of rejecting, but there also was the spirit of accepting. What motivated these two men? Even though they were in the minority, even though it seemed that for them, physically speaking, the cause was lost. They were outvoted, as we would say. What was it motivated them? Because they believed God. And just look at Numbers chapter 14 again. Or Numbers chapter... Yes, it's Numbers chapter 15, and the verse 30. Caleb said, Numbers 13, verse 30, "Let us go at once and possess it. We need to go and take the land." He was trying to rescue the situation. We need to go out. We need to take the land. We need to move across the river. We need to get our armies organized. We need to go. We need to do the work. The land is there for the taking. He knew that God had given them promises, and God would fulfill those promises. And of course, as an old man, that was the same spirit Caleb had when he said, "Give me this mountain." He never forgot that earlier attachment to duty. And this is the ultimate reason for following the Lord. It is the truth of God's word. That's why we follow God. I was reading just the other day about Edmund Grindle. I never heard of him before. Edmund Grindle. He was made Bishop of London by Queen Elizabeth I. But Queen Elizabeth, for all of her Protestant principles, she didn't like the Puritans. Because the Puritans believed we don't read our prayers. We say our prayers from the heart. We don't read our sermons that have been given to us from above. We preach what God has given to us. There's a spirit of liberty and freedom, the type of thing that we believe. And William Grindle was a Puritan. And he was made Archbishop of Canterbury. And the Queen was greatly disturbed by preachers that were rising, because there were preachers that she couldn't control. And so what he did was, he wrote a 6,000 word defense of the place of preaching in the church. And then he went to the Queen. Now, Queen Elizabeth I was like her father. She had a very fiery temperament. You didn't get on the wrong side of her, and she could be very quick. And so he went to the Queen and he said, after presenting this document to her, "Bear with me, I beseech you, madam, if I choose rather to offend your earthly majesty than to offend the heavenly majesty of God. I'll offend you before I'll offend God." And for that he was thrown into prison, and he actually died in prison as the Archbishop of Canterbury, because he was standing by the word of God. And that was the spirit of our Protestant forefathers. And it's the same spirit we need today, because if there's going to be blessing, we need that kind of attitude. Let's also think about these men and their supportiveness. They stood behind Moses and Aaron. If you look again at Numbers chapter 14, it's all one passage really, Numbers 13, 14, it's all the one story. And you have Caleb and Joshua in verse 6, and they're rending their clothes, they're speaking onto the land, they say it's a good land, it's a land that flows with milk and honey. Verse 9, "Only rebel not ye against the Lord." And then the congregation bade stone them with stones. They were brought to the very edge of violent death. Death was just a stone's throw away, quite literally. Not only for them, but for Moses and Aaron. But they believed something. They believed that God had made Moses and Aaron the leaders. And they were going to stand behind the leadership that God had given, even if that meant death, rather than to allow anarchy to prevail. Because there was anarchy here. There was going to be bloodshed as a result of anarchy. There was a lack of harmony. There was a lack of discipline. And God is not the author of confusion. God is the author of order. And God had in an orderly way brought them through the Red Sea, brought them through the wilderness, brought them to the very edge of the Promised Land, and now the mob took over. Caleb and Joshua recognized the divinely appointed order. So it is in the Church of Christ. We need to believe in unity. Unity with each other. We're very blessed with the unity we have in this church. Let us always endeavor to preserve that unity. Let us stand with each other for the things that are right. And let's always remember that, for the devil can get in so easily. But let's think about them and their dedication now. They were men who were dedicating themselves unto God. Absolute and complete dedication is the story here. They gave the Lord their all, even willing to surrender their lives to God. That was the spirit of Caleb and Joshua. I think of what Christ said. Take up the cross, he said, and follow me. Take up the burden. He took the burden. He took the burden of the cross. He put it upon his shoulders and he went all the way to Calvary. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to take up that cross. At times there's opposition. At times it's difficult. At times there'll be people that won't think we're right, but we have to do it for the sake of the Lord. Think of Paul's words, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye might prove what is that good and holy and acceptable will of God. Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh were conformed to this world. It's all about this world. It's all about their material interests. The same was true of the mob, the Kadesh Barnea. It was all about themselves and how they saw things from their own little narrow view and perspective. Once you leave God out of the equation, everything goes wrong. But Caleb and Joshua, they saw God's plan, they saw God's will, they saw God's call. They went forth at his command. True men indeed. And there is the sequel to the story, of course. God honored Joshua and Caleb in a most remarkable way. The only two men out of a whole generation, out of 2.5 million people, the only two men who saw the promised land. The only two men who crossed the Jordan. Only two men. Caleb and Joshua. The rest of the rebels, they died in the wilderness. Oh, they had their day. They had their say. They had the majority with them at one time. What did it give them? It gave them nothing but hardship and tears and sorrow. God offers rich rewards to those who follow him. Rewards that cannot be measured in terms of earthly wealth, but they can be measured in terms of heavenly currency. Because we are told, are we not, in the book of Revelation, that those who followed the Lamb, they followed him whithersoever he would go. They gave the Lamb their all. They were recognized. So let us pray tonight that we would have the spirit of these two men, Caleb and Joshua.